This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the Golf Podcast here with William Hill, Dave Kellner, Mike Grenham and Dave Tindall here in the studio this afternoon to look ahead to the Dubai Desert Classic on the European Tour and the Phoenix Open on the PGA Tour. I did promise you last week, folks, that eventually we would get all three of us in the studio at the same time, and that day has arrived, Mr. Grenham.
Nice and cosy, isn't it?
It is nice and cosy. We've all got our arms around each other here, huddled up for this
We've got quite a big studio, but we just like having our arms around each other.
Well, sat on each other's laps. Yes. Too far, folks.
Are we like a sort of 70s supergroup with Cream or something? Finally, they're all together.
Yes.
Good to have you with us, Mr. Tindall.
Thank you.
And you as well, Mike Grenham.
Thank you.
You missed the podcast last week, and two of your favourites won last week, Brandon Grace winning on the European Tour and Bill Haas on the PGA
Tour. Definitely, Dave. Grace winning twice now without me backing him is a bit frustrating because I had my eye on him at the back end of last year. I don't know if I'd have backed either of them, if I'm being honest, last week. They were both slightly short in the market. Haas is an old favourite of mine. I've bored people for a long time about him, but they were probably the market was about right on both of them. So whilst I'd have liked to have backed them, I didn't get a chance to have a look at the tournaments, and I'm not sure I would have backed them last week, if I'm being really honest.
High quality finish for Brandon Grace, him going head to head with Mark Warren. Some really good golf played on the back nine there, Dave.
Yeah, but you somehow always thought Grace would get it done just because he's such a good closer, isn't he? Warren sort of wobbled before, and Grace gets the bit between his teeth. He's a pugnacious little fella, isn't he? And he just sort of gets over the line by hook or by crook.
He's a winner, isn't he?
Yeah.
Once he's in there, he's a winner, yeah.
You know, four times in 2012, and now you think, well, now what, this year?
Yeah, he could go on to bigger and better things, couldn't
not
he?
Not great last year, but started at the end of the year to come back in, and when he's playing well, he wins.
You don't win four times and then go away, do you? You're going to come back again at some point.
No, he's a good player.
Big week coming up in the world of golf, two high-quality events this week, and we'll start off with the Dubai Desert Classic, and Rory McIlroy back in action this week. He's 3-1 favourite here with William Hill. Henrik Stenson is 12-1, Martin Kaymer 14s, Lee Westwood is 20-1, along with Sergio Garcia. Bernd Wiesberger 25-1, Brandon Grace 25-1, Louis Oosthuizen 25-1, Stephen Gallagher 25-1, and it's 33's bar. This is the third leg of the Desert Swing and the most prestigious as well. First European Tour event to be staged in the Middle East. That was back in 1989. And it does always attract a stellar cast, this event. And once again, the field returned to the Majlis course at the Emirates Golf Club for this year's championship. And Stephen Gallagher, Dave, going for the hat-trick here, backing up his win in 2013 with victory last year. Remember that performance well, because he was down and out with nine holes to play last year, but made that terrific comeback on the back nine last time round.
Yeah, and he was second the year before the two wins, wasn't he, as well? So it's just ridiculous. He goes on holiday with his family there, so he says he plays the course a lot, so kind of makes sense, doesn't it? It's one of those little things you wish you'd known at the start of that run.
It's an amazing record for he's not Rory McIlroy, is he?
No.
But to have that kind of record in what is a decent event every year is pretty much a horse for the course, isn't he?
I take it.
I bet none of us have picked him, though, have we?
No, we've not. He just looks a little bit too short, doesn't he? This time round at 25-1. I take it no one's gone for McIlroy either. He's 3-1 favourite here, McIlroy. Was he tempting for you this week, Mike?
He's been tempting at 4s and 5-1, where he's an each-way option over some of the last tournaments. But I think the price is more realistic now at 3s.
Yeah.
That would be about what I would price him at. I think he's been slightly overpriced for each-way punters of some of the latest tournaments. But, yeah, 3-1 is more the right price.
I've got a couple of picks this week for this event, Dave. How many have you got?
Well, I think one of ours is going to be the same, so I might throw in a different one.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that. We could all have the same pick here.
I've noticed your sheet, Dave, and your first pick is mine. I've got him as well. Are we on the same guy?
We're all on the same horse then this week.
Wow. He's 80-1.
He is.
Yeah.
His name is Thomas Peters.
Wow. He's my only pick, so yeah.
Well, good. You go ahead.
I'll let you guys elaborate, but he's a long hitter. I think this course suits people who can get it out there. He was 8th and 4th on two of his last three events. I know he hasn't got course experience, but 80-1 is huge price, I think.
And just for full transparency, we all enter this studio at the same time on a Tuesday afternoon. We don't confer about picks.
No, we're smuggled in by security guards, not allowed to confer. And then we open the box, don't we, and see what's in there.
We do. And Thomas
no,
Peters...
No, but we genuinely don't, didn't know.
It's a big box this week, isn't it, with Thomas
I'm
Peters
absolutely gobsmacked that you both picked him, I have to say. I thought he was a little bit of a flyer, but there you go. Mm. Great minds think alike, hopefully.
We talked about it on last week's podcast, Dave, the fact that he played well in the first leg of the Desert Swing, then went to Qatar last week and finished mid-division last week at a shorter price. Yeah. He's back out 80-1 this week.
Yeah, basically it was one of those. He was 15th with a round to go last week, so it's one of those ones. Had he shot a good round, what would he be here, 40s or something? But it's because he went backwards a bit, lost his winning chance. The other thing I noticed was the grains are kind of greenier in Qatar compared to Abu Dhabi and Dubai. I think he struggled a bit on them.
Okay.
I think the grainier grains suit the South Africans.
Yes.
Which kind of makes sense with Grace winning.
Yep.
So I thought, I said last week, kind of the rhythm of these things, sometimes you have a good week, then you just cool off and then you go again.
Got to be a bit of mental letdown when you go so well as you did in Abu Dhabi and just finish fourth and had a chance to win, and you just think the next week, a little bit of readjustment and then go again. I totally endorse that. It's hard to keep up that level.
Yeah.
Round after round, isn't it? So 80-1 is a big price.
He's a winner in waiting, isn't he, as well, I think. He's a talented player. He does hit it a long way, like Mike said. And what do you think the key attributes are around this venue, Dave? Because I don't think accuracy in previous years has been a big factor here.
No, certainly those who can give it a tonk, it certainly helps. It's an interesting one. You kind of get the impression that the best names win here. But I was looking, the last five winners, they've not got a major between them, so it's not just kind of, you have to be an absolute top gun. I mean, look at some of the winners down the years. I mean, some funny ones, hasn't there? It's like Wayne Westner and people.
Yeah,
and
South African guy.
People can pop up and, I just think he sort of fits that profile as someone who might just have a real fly at it. And he's fearless. He's had once they get in contention, have a few goes with it. It's all money in the bank, isn't it? So
Cabrera Bay and Quiros both won it, didn't they, Dave? And they've been nowhere near winning majors so far. Both got loads of ability, but he could be a real player, this fella, I think. I really do. So
I reckon we'll go the whole year and we won't all of us pick an 80-1 shot. We'll
all the same. That's amazing. No, that is surprising. So. Who else have you guys? Have you picked anyone else then?
I've got one more pick, and I know you have, Dave, as well. I'll go with Eddie Pepperell as my second pick here at 66-1. Many ways, similar profile to Thomas Peters in the fact that he's a young guy who looks a winner in waiting. But he's a quality player. Form over the last 6 months has been absolutely outstanding for Pepperell. He showed he can handle desert golf as well with his fourth place finish last week in Qatar. Played solidly throughout the bag on that occasion, only had a couple of bogeys in his last 54 holes, and played particularly well over the weekend. Had that golden spell in August and September of last year with those four top five finishes in five starts. I fully expect his form to continue into the new season, and he's seen this place a couple of times now. Played here back in on debut in 2013 and finished 68th, missed the cut on the number last year. I think those two finishes are holding his price up this week. Very similar profile to his form in Qatar before last week's tied fourth finish. Got a huge future in my opinion, and I like him at 66-1.
Yeah, definitely. Sometimes, when these players have a top five, I think I once looked at KJ Choi, and I think he'd never had consecutive top fives, like ever, which is like bizarre. But with Pepperell, you talked about his hot spell. Two of those fourth places, he followed it up with a top five the very next week. So the fact he's just had one makes you think.
Yeah, once he gets into a run,
he's hot.
Yeah.
So that kind of I like him.
And who else for you, Dave?
Emiliano Grillo. The Argentine who was runner-up last year. Again, he's one of these young players who could, really be something special. Obviously played very well last week.
Yeah.
I think he topped the all-around stats last week, so he's doing everything well. It's not like he's just sort of getting away with it by scrambling or anything. He's just playing really good, solid golf.
Yeah.
He speaks good English, actually. I was looking. I think he went to.
Is that one of your criteria?
But we're worrying about the winner's speech.
I'll nail that. I don't want to win this. Yeah. I can't do the speech.
But yeah, but well, I looked at it and it said, well, not that you can trust Wikipedia all the time, but it said residence Florida. Well, I don't quite believe that. But then I looked into it a bit more, Googled it, and he did win an event in Florida. So maybe you know, he's got.
He's a real talent, dude.
Worldwide. You know,
absolutely.
Experience
he's,
and
he is a winner. He's another winner in waiting, as Dave said.
He did win his home Argentine Open just before Christmas as
did
well.
Did he? Yeah. Right, I didn't know that.
So, you know, he's got a recent win in the bank. And just that, if Gallagher was second, then won it the next year, kind of, you know, can follow that pattern maybe.
Yeah.
The bookies are onto him more than they are Peters. I mean, we've got him at 40s this week. But, you know, I think he's. Who knows, in a few months' time, 40-1 with him, you might think, well, that was all right.
Yeah, the price slightly put me off, but he was on my shortlist of three or four players. I just might have wanted a little bit more, but I can't disagree with him as a pick. He's got a rock-solid chance this week, hasn't he?
He has 40-1, then. Who else was on that list, then, Mike?
Marcel CM was on that list, who has some form here in the past. He's a bit of a volatile character. You never know quite what you're going to get, but he was fourth here in 2012 and hasn't been in bad form. And Grillo was on there, and the other guy is a guy who won this event when I backed him a few years ago, Alvaro Quiros. I've been mentioning him for a little while. He was 23rd last week, which was a decent event for him. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him run a big race at whatever price he is, which I can't find, 100-1. It's quite a big price, that, for a past winner.
I used to love him. I used to be one of my favourite players. He just used to smile, hit it long. It was like a dream, wasn't he?
And hitting it long suits him. I worry about him, Dave, is his putting just seems a little wayward under pressure now. And that is a big worry in golf, isn't it? You can't be messing around on the greens. You've got to hole them, haven't you, if you're going to win. Every week we see guys holing putts that win, so I'm not sure he'll hole enough putts, but I wouldn't surprise him if he runs a big race.
Is this the event where he hit it up the tree and made a 7 and then made a hole in one? Is that this event?
Yeah, he made a 7 in the final round, didn't he?
A hole in one on the 11th, doesn't he?
Yeah. It was a bit of a roller coaster.
That's probably his career in a nutshell, isn't it, in all honesty?
Yeah. I'm dying to sort of trust him again, but I can't quite.
Yeah, exactly the same, Dave. He's on my list. I wanted to mention him because he's three figures there. Can I quite see him winning? No, I think he might find a way not to win at the moment. He needs a win, doesn't he?
Any other honourable mentions for you then, Dave?
Probably the other honourable mention would be Tommy Fleetwood. Again, it's kind of a theme, isn't it? We're going young players with big futures, and Fleetwood definitely fits that. But he was second at halfway here a couple of years ago.
He's
a young player, so they're bound to kind of go through little troughs and sudden peaks, and it's just trying to time it right, isn't it, with him. He was 23rd last week, so that might be just a hint that he's ready to throw in a big one. And it's the sort of event you could see him using as a stepping stone and then going on to win a major or something, because I think Sky did a little thing last week where they're asking the best players who's going to be the next star, and you know, 90% were saying Tommy Fleetwood.
Really,
the European Tour guys. And that's interesting, isn't it?
I know one of my mates, Matt Cooper, who you know, sort of polled quite a lot of the caddies, like who's going to be the surefire hit, Tommy Fleetwood.
Really? Yeah, he does look a player, doesn't he?
Everyone speaks well of him, so he's just kind of waiting to get him. And what is he, 66?
66, yeah.
It could look decent, that, couldn't it?
There's no harm in playing those sort of prices, guessing, is there? So
we talked about McIlroy at the top of the market, Dave. Were there any at the top of the market that appealed this week?
I do think Keimer. I do think, you know, we're putting it on him that he's blown this thing and he'll. But you know, talking of kind of Keimer, and I don't want to delve too much into cliche about Germans and stuff. But Bernhard Langer did win the week after missing his Ryder Cup putt in 91.
Yep.
And you could see Keimer following that kind of thing, couldn't you? Just think, oh, whatever. You know, that was last.
I don't think that result in Abu Dhabi is going to affect him at all.
No, I don't. I think
if anything, it'll spur him on. I would think. It was a spectacular demise, but at the end of the day, it wasn't the Open or the US Open, was it? He'll be able to put that to the back of his mind. At the end of his career, he's not going to be worrying about that event, is he?
No.
He'd like to have won it, I'm sure, but he's a great player, isn't he? He's got a point to prove.
14-1 Martin Kaymer this week.
Thorbjørn Olesen, you pick him a lot.
Yeah, I do. I like him in the desert. I did pick him a couple of weeks ago. He's just been disappointing, hasn't he, the last couple of weeks? So I think that in a stronger field, at a very, very similar price to the price he's been the last 2 weeks,
you can leave him alone.
Can leave him alone at 50-1. Let's move on to the Phoenix Open then, this week's PGA Tour event, the return of Tiger Woods. And he is in the betting, but not at the top of the betting. It's Bubba Watson who heads the market here at 14-1. Jordan Spieth is 16-1. Matt Kuchar is 20s. Ricky Fowler, 20-1. Tiger Woods, 20-1. Phil Mickelson, 22s. And it's 25s and bigger the remainder. One of the most eagerly anticipated and weighted events on the PGA Tour, Mike, mainly due to that raucous atmosphere on the 16th. And, of course, we welcome Tiger Woods back onto the PGA Tour scene, which is a good thing.
Great stuff, isn't it? The Phoenix Open. I love it. It's just fantastic.
As I mentioned, it was a podcast a few months ago. They've banned the caddy races on 16, which is...
Poor show.
It is a poor show, isn't it, that? I mean, that was one of the highlights of the season, those caddy races, and... Health and safety gone mad, Mike.
It's health and safety just taking over and spoiling everything for all of us. Yeah, well, how many people did they get out of that? 10 million people.
Yeah, 10 million, at least
like
10 million.
On the course, something
it's,
like 10
it's
million.
About, it's about 100,000 round 16, no,
it is,
isn't it?
It is about 100,000, I'm being silly. How do you get that many people around there? I've never quite worked that out when I watch it.
30,000.
Is it 100,000 at the event?
Maybe I've slipped into hyperbole.
Yeah,
I'm possibly. Sure 100,000 has been mentioned before.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I've heard
maybe,
that mentioned.
Maybe that's over the 4 days at the 16th.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
Could be,
it's mob, though, isn't it? And this year the Super Bowl is in Scottsdale,
that's
isn't it?
Right, yeah. In Arizona, yeah. So it's kind of...
Wow. You know, that'd be the place to be.
I think it's finishing a bit early, isn't it? Sunday.
It normally does, doesn't it? The finishing time for the Super Bowl anyway, but even more so this year.
Yeah.
They'll be so up for it, won't they, on Sunday? They really will. And it's just, I love to see the players under that bit of pressure. On 16 is obviously great, but it's just a good event all round, isn't it?
It's the only time they really experience that sort of amphitheatre, isn't it, in the season, where it's almost like an American football match or an ice hockey match. Mm-hmm. They don't get to experience that week in, week out. Some players embrace it. Other players are more fearful of having to take that T-shirt on 16.
Can you imagine walking down that tunnel on the final day and you're in with a chant and everyone's going mad as you're screaming coming through? It must be great.
As far as the golf course...
I'm able to walk. Never mind at the ball.
They're all
frightened.
Like a lot of them are college students, aren't they? So they're all like sort of like Stifler off American Pie.
that's the vision anyway, isn't it? No doubt. As far as the golf course is concerned, Dave, TPC Scottsdale, the co-creator Tom Weisskopf, has made a lot of changes to the golf course this time round. Extensive changes as well. It has been modified quite
has
extremely.
It
has been modified, Mr. Grenham, quite extremely, this golf course, Dave.
Yeah, I sometimes don't get too put off when they modified it. I think it's the same deal, isn't it, really? So, and I think it is a place where old course form, I think it'll stand up again.
I don't think so.
It's a bit of a red herring to think it's all changed.
They're always modifying courses, aren't they? I don't think it makes that much difference myself. I really don't. And this is a course where experience seems to really matter.
Mm.
So I've gone for two players who play well here.
I've just got the one pick here, Dave.
Yeah, two. I wonder if I've got the same as Mike.
Mike,
do you want to go first, Dave, or do you want me to go first?
I'll go first then.
I've gone for a guy who has had a neck injury but plays very well here, Jason Duffner.
Okay.
Anyone got him?
No.
I mean, I must admit, it's slightly a price play because he has been injured. He missed the cut at Humana last week. But he follows on from two top tens in Asia in his previous two outings, so he's not in that bad form. Came back about October after pulling off the tour with that aforementioned injury. Second and eighth in two of his last three outings here. He did miss the cut last time out at Scottsdale, but Duffner's a major winner. He's a great player. I think he thrives on the atmosphere of somewhere like this. And 66-1 is why I'm backing him. It's a very big price with those form figures. And I just think he's good value at that.
Yeah, I like this golf course for a ball striker.
Yeah,
like Duffner, someone who finds a lot of fairways and greens in regulation.
Yeah.
Duffner at 66-1. Then
the only worry with him, did you see him last week? He's lost about 10 stone.
Has he really?
He couldn't recognise him.
Yeah,
he's kind of shaved his hair off, and not completely, but he's got rid of the sort of
curly hair,
golfer curly hair, out of the hat look, and lost a load of weight. I always wonder, you know, something like it throws them out of kilter when that happens, but maybe, who knows?
What, the weight thing or the hair?
Like Samson in reverse or something. The weight thing, yeah.
Didn't help Carl Pettersen, did it, a few years ago? He had to put weight back on to start playing well again.
He's the sort of poster boy for it doesn't work, but I'm sure there are plenty who it does work for.
Yeah, last week,
you never know.
He had an absolutely appalling first round. I think he shot 76 or something in an event where he should be shooting 66 Duffner. But his final two rounds were pretty decent, so admittedly he's a little bit of a speculative player, but he's a good enough 66 to one catches my eye. Mm-hmm. You know, those two very good finishes in recent history at the event. And, you know, two top tens before the Humano, albeit in one of them was a fairly bog-standard Asian event, but the HSBC, he was 10th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 66-1, Jason Duffner. Dave, your first pick here?
Yeah, another one with great course form, former winner Hunter Mahan. Look at his last eight starts in Arizona. You've got two wins, a second and a fourth. One of the wins here, the other in the match play. So he's a real, what do we call him, desert rat, desert fox, desert some sort of animal.
Yeah, desert boot.
Yeah, it's like blankety blank. Yeah, I'll go with Beryl Reid. Yeah. So it's like, he's really, really good in that and in the desert. And then in this event particularly, he was also fourth last year. Shot a third round 65, which had 10 birdies. You know, he was ninth here on debut. He's got a ton of form at the course. And I was doing some reading from the interviews that they put on ASAP Sports, which I always sort of pour through. And he just talked about getting a bit more balance. He's got another kid on the way. He said he was overdoing it, over-golfing himself. Mm. And he said he was third at the Fry's, and he said that week he just didn't really do anything. He didn't practice, didn't
right.
hit the range. He just turned up fresh and played the best he has in ages. So I think he's, you know, he's what had one out in this year. So he's fresh. I think it will suit him, a fresh Mahan on a course where he's had a lot of, you know, results, and in the desert, 33-1, like him. And he won at the back end of the last year. He won the Barclays, didn't he?
Yep.
Which kind of...
I remember that well. That was nice there.
Yeah.
I was on
the week after I'd had a massive bet on him in the PGA and be placed. But there you go.
I shouldn't have mentioned that, should I? I do apologise.
It's a bad memory.
It just started to get to the point where you think, he needs to win again, and he did so.
He's a top player. He's actually, to be fair, he's on my longer list. He's 33, he's no bad price for him, is it?
33-1 Hunter.
Same price as Brendan Steele.
Yeah. You know which one you'd rather be on there. Yeah. 33-1 Hunter Mahan. Just the one pick for me. I'm sticking with Sean Stephanie after last week.
What did he shoot in the first round?
He shot 75 in the first round, which you've got to shoot 66 around that golf course. He shot 75, so completely out of contention. Ended up finishing tied 15th in the end. Mm. Played incredibly well over the last 54 holes after that 75 at Palmer Private, and form prior to that, as I mentioned on last week's podcast, had been superb. Finished second at the Mayakoba, an event where you need to make lots of birdies. Finished that with followed that up with a tied sixth at the Sony. Found a lot of greens in regulation as well last week. Ranks 11th on the season in that category, so should theoretically set up plenty of birdie opportunities this week. Happy to be involved at 80s, to be honest. As we've mentioned, I think finding the greens in reg is important here. Maybe not as much of a putting contest as last week. That is his Achilles heel. So Sean Stefani at 80-1 is my only pick in this event.
Yeah, very good.
So I'll go with him.
Yeah, good. I get all of that. I'm going for Scott Piercy as my second pick. Always plays well here. In fact, he's got 5 top 15s in this event. Has been in very good form of late, came back after a break, after an injury setback, I think it was, and has played very well since with top 10s at Sony and the Shriners. He is, I think he's from Las Vegas, and Las Vegas even, and he's just another desert rat. Mm-hmm. He really is. In good form, played very well again at the weekend, and I had to have him in for this event. I really like his chances here. Playing ever so well, 42-1. I could have done that. I won't deny 50s would have been better, obviously, stating the obvious. But 40s is good enough to tempt me in for Scott Piercy. I think he's an imminent winner.
Hmm. Dave, your final selection here?
Yeah, I'm going to give Ryan Palmer another go. I just think he's playing brilliant at the minute. I think he's one of the best players out there at the minute. He said he'd done a load of work with I'm going to say Randy Lerner then. I don't mean like that. Randy Smith. That's why he's doing no good.
Just the wrong choice, wasn't it?
He basically last week he was 10th, but did you see the triple bogey he took on the 7th?
Yeah.
A nightmare, didn't he?
Yeah. He finished 3 off the winner and he had a triple bogey on the... And you can't be having triple bogey.
Not in those events.
In any event. No. But in particularly that one where it's, you know, you go... It's a massive sort of...
22
snakes and ladders. There's a massive, like the longest snake on the course and go down that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And but it was still 10th and it just... You go back through his form, it's just top 25 every week since the PGA, basically. And then in this event, he was runner-up 2006, fifth in 2013 when he closed with a 62. He shot a 61 last week. I just think he's in tremendous form. And, you know, sometimes it's easy to ditch a player, isn't it? It's almost you take it personally. Oh, he threw away my H-way money. Yeah. But, you know...
We all do that,
clearly,
don't we?
Yeah, but clearly he's playing some of the best golf of his career.
Mm.
So, you know, you would keep following him in it anyway, and if you can find a course where he's done well on before, it just seems...
It's the emotional part of betting that, isn't it, Dave? And we've talked about it about Keimer, but you're so right there, that triple bogey, oh, I'm not backing him again, he let me down. Well, he didn't do it on purpose, did he? He wanted to win.
Yeah.
And again, a bit like Keimer, he'll be focused this week on winning this week. He'll
and even then...
Banked a check onto the next one.
Even then, he finished with 3 birdies out of 4 last week, so it's not like he...
He looked like he was going to hit 59, didn't he, in that 61? He was just hit 2 bogeys, didn't he, on the back 9 and just stopped him in his tracks a little bit. But yeah,
I just think he's one of the...
Good player.
You know, if he pops up and wins, he's kind of going, oh, well, that was a bit obvious, wasn't it? Yeah, the price isn't utterly thrilling at 28, but it's enough for each way.
Can't expect much more given his form, can you, to be fair, at the course and, you know, in recent weeks?
28-1, Ryan Palmer. How's Tiger going to play this week, Mike? Tiger Woods, 20-1. What's your prediction?
Oh, that's so hard to judge, isn't it? Who knows? How do we get that? 20 is not a bad price because he always played pretty well here. We played well everywhere, didn't he? Just so hard to know, isn't it? He'll need to putt better than he did the last event he played in.
Yeah, his swing looked good.
You know,
even though he finished down the field at that Hero World Challenge, his own event, I thought his swing looked better than it has done for a long time, and that includes when he won all those events in 2013. So I think he could go well. I think 20 is fair, Dave.
I do, but I think if you were kind of pinpointing Woods and Mickelson, I'd much rather be on Mickelson this week.
Agreed.
He's won it 3 times. He's had a nice warm up. He's lost a load of weight as well, lost 20 pounds. He's clearly his head's, you know, in
position. He was talking positively, wasn't he, last week, Mickelson?
I know if you're born in California and you feel Mickelson, you can't do anything but talk in sort of positivity, sort of nonsense.
Do you think he's been to lots of seminars in the past then?
It does come across that way, doesn't it? But no, he's got every right. I mean, he went to, is it ASU here?
Yeah.
I think he met Amy here. He's got a special... Yeah. He's kind of the fan favourite,
isn't definitely
he?
At the incident in this event. Yeah,
loves, I mean, that is... If you could sort of build an event for him with all the crowd going bananas and everything.
Yeah, he's in his element here, isn't he? And he's won it 3 times, hasn't
he? 3 times, yeah. And he shot that 60, didn't he, a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
Similar price, I was on him. 25-20 was that week. And you think, you'll never get that again here. And here we are, 22.
Yeah, it's a decent price, actually.
You wouldn't... It's one of those ones, chuck a few quid win only and sort of
see what
let
happens.
It go. And then, you know, he might win by 5 or he might just bomb
away. No, it's a very fair point you make. He's some 8 points behind Bubba in the market. Yeah. But I think Bubba should go well this week. In fact, he was on my list, but that's a bit short for him in this field, I think. Jordan Spieth, obviously, well, he's in pretty decent form, isn't he?
He's in pretty decent form. I just wonder whether he's had a little bit of a break, hasn't he? Whether he's firing on all cylinders, but it wouldn't be a surprise if he won at 16-1.
It's his debut, isn't it? There's another slight
reservation.
Although, then again, he's pretty good at turning up anywhere, isn't he?
Yeah, he kind of books that a bit, doesn't he? Everywhere he plays.
Who came closest, other than the picks for you, then, Mike?
JB Holmes. I'm going to have a saver on him. He's 100-1. He's won this event in the past. It's a different course, I think, than it has changed. Maybe he hasn't played that well here in recent years, although I just always have to have a little saver on him in this event, because he kind of loves the atmosphere, doesn't he? And he's a great player. Won last year in the Wells Fargo. I'll have a little saver on him. Martin Laird was on my mind, and Gary Woodland, but 25-1.
He was closest for me, Gary Woodland.
25s, though, Dave. Well, sank my dreams.
Yeah, Woodland was close. I like Robert Streb. He's number one in the all-around at the moment. He's 66-1, maintaining form well and putting well, Streb. I've got Mickelson down on the list, and Harris English may be the other one, but again, maybe a little bit too short. He's at 35s. Short. He has drifted a little bit on the back of that 30th place finish last week, but not enough to tempt me in a stronger field. So I was put off by him. What about you, Dave?
Yeah, one for me, it's one of those funny sort of fish out of water scenarios where Jamie Donaldson, 66-1, why is he that price? It's because he's classed as a European tour player who's always going into the kind of against the big boys. But is he really? I mean, he's 25th in the world. He finished runner-up in the Cadillac last year. He's won in the desert before in Abu Dhabi.
Yep.
It kind of reminds me the other way. When Chris DeMarco won in Abu Dhabi, and you start to think, well, how did that happen back in 06? Well, he'd won here. What's the reverse kind of thing? It's kind of, I don't know. Why is he 66-1 really?
Just for those, I think you've hit the nail on the head, just because he's a European going over to America. But
they always play, you know, vice versa as well. Yeah. They always play better than you would think, or they play well for their price, don't they? And I, you know, if he comes top five, I wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't balk it.
I think I know he pulled out of the Ned Bank with a neck with migraine or something. But his last 10 starts, you clock him at top 25 every single week. 19 in Abu Dhabi 2 weeks ago, you know, and how much confidence must he have with the, you know, Ryder Cup thing as well?
Yeah,
he's a bit of a boy. He's a bit of a cheeky one as well. So I think he'll like the atmosphere.
Yeah.
I've heard some stories. So he will. I think he'll throw.
He'll relish it.
Yeah.
I like him described as a bit of a cheeky one as well. I like that description for Jamie.
Like
Donaldson.
A good wine.
Yeah, he's 66-1, Jamie Donaldson. Let's get the player you don't want to win then, Mike. Have you got one?
The player I don't want to win probably would be Gary Woodland, I think, in the Phoenix event and in the European event. Ooh, CM was very close.
Okay, I'm gonna go with, I suppose, the guy that Robert Streb probably in the Phoenix Open, and Woodland I wouldn't want to see win as well. And
can't pick them all.
All of them apart from my picks. And in the Dubai Desert Classic, not really got one there, in all honesty. Dave, who are the guys that you don't want to win? Who came closest to making the cup?
Well, I suppose if Rory wins, you'll be thinking that was an easy 3-1. Wasn't it? You could have just banked and moved on to the next week with a profit. In America, well, I say I don't want to win, I'll probably end up backing him, but Mickelson, if I don't back Mickelson and he wins, I will be sort of bashing my head against something wooden.
Yeah. I get that.
Picks this week then, I've gone for Thomas Peters, a point each way, 80-1.
We all have.
Dubai Desert Classic, we all have.
Team Peters.
Team Peters this week. And Eddie Pepple, the other one, a point each way at 66-1. Dave, you've gone for Peters, obviously. Who's your second pick there?
Griot at 40s, my second pick there.
We'll have to be more strategic about this, won't we? If he plays rubbish on the first morning, we're all sulking out.
Precisely. If he completely bombs out,
we'll be ringing his mum, Mary, won't we? And saying, if
he bombs out the first morning, I'll just go back and edit the podcast. I'll just clip all that bit out in the first bit.
Just make it sound out.
Just use the American preview. Who have you gone for in America, Mike?
I've gone for Jason Duffner, 66-1, and Scott Piercy at 40s. I will have a little saver on JB as well.
I'm just having a point each way on Sean Stefani at 80-1 in the Phoenix, and Mr. Tyndall.
Yeah, point each way on Mahan at 33s, point each way on Ryan Palm at 28s.
Superb. Thank you, chaps. Enjoyed that. Make sure you get your bets on pre-tournament. Pre-tournament bets obviously in play as well for the Dubai Desert Classic by 4:30 a.m. on Thursday morning. And you've got until 1 p.m. for the Phoenix Open on Thursday afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Grenham.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tyndall.
Thank you.
And thanks to everyone for listening. Remember, you can download this via iTunes and check us out on audioboom.com as well by typing in William Hill. That's where all our on-demand audio lives. And we'll speak again next week. Best of luck with your golf betting here with William Hill.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.